Now, the local record. A look at issues facing Shenandoah and our other Southwest Iowa communities.
As we approach Memorial Day, our thoughts are turned towards the many sacrifices our veterans have made on behalf of the many freedoms we enjoy here in the United States, in Iowa, and in Shenandoah. Hi, this is your host, Jenny Burkheiser. Our guests this Saturday on the local record are Karma McLaren, a resident of rural Farragut, as well as First Amendment attorney Martin Cannon, associated with the Thomas More Society, to talk with us about our First Amendment freedoms, including freedom of religion, and how this impacts us here in Shenandoah and Southwest Iowa today. Welcome to the local record, Karma and Martin. It's nice to have you both.
Well, thank you
for having us.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, we do enjoy very special freedoms here in the United States, and these are based on the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And today we're going to touch on the First Amendment and how that impacts Southwest Iowa. But first, let's talk a little more about yourself, starting with Karma. Tell us more about your life here in the Shenandoah-Farragut area.
I am a resident of rural Farragut since 1973 when I married my husband, Daryl. And we have two sons we raised here who went to the Farragut School. We now live in the Shenandoah District. I was a teacher at Sydney for 22 years, and I also then worked for the AEA in over 40 schools throughout Southwest Iowa, doing consulting for gifted education and school improvement consulting.
That's wonderful, the education aspect you've been involved with. Now you've retired, Karma. What keeps you busy?
Well, I prayed about what God would want me to do in retirement, and he's led me in some unexpected directions. I am now a volunteer at the Pregnancy Center of Southwest Iowa over in Red Oak, and I work there as a mentor to young women with unplanned or unexpected or even unwanted pregnancies. I've also gotten involved in pro-life advocacy, so I'm exercising some of my First Amendment rights in new ways.
And Martin, you specifically have a passion for defending citizens when it comes to their First Amendment rights. Tell us more about your background in the legal field.
That developed, I think, when I was fairly freshly out of law school. Of course, the abortionist Leroy Carhart has an abortion mill in Bellevue, Nebraska. At the time I got out of law school, there were lots of prosecutions going on of the pro-lifers that were spending a lot of their time on the sidewalks around that mill. I offered to get involved and defend them. It became a fairly significant part of my practice for the next 20, 25 years. It taught me a lot about the way the laws are really taken advantage of and somewhat abused by powerful organizations like Planned Parenthood to tamp down the free exercise of speech that the pro-lifers depend upon. So that turned out to involve probably 40 separate prosecutions over the years. We wound up trying a very significant case that went to the Nebraska Supreme Court having to do with the state's right to impose withdrawal of life support on a child over the objections of her parents. More recently, another Thomas More attorney and I defended Father Norman Westland in a federal jury trial and got his acquittal, his finding of not guilty by the jury, when he was charged with violating the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. After we got his acquittal a few years later, he essentially got engaged in an exact same set of facts where he wound up inside the clinic, kneeling down and praying. Instead of prosecuting, the federal government simply charged with trespass, and instead of facing 10 years in prison, he got a $25 fine by a county judge who could see the thing for what it was.
Well, thank you, Martin, for sharing with us a little bit about the ways that you have been involved with defending citizens' constitutional rights. Let's talk a little more about the First Amendment. Just what does that amendment give us as citizens?
Well, we talk about it as though it primarily protects our right to speak. But actually, the first First Amendment right is the freedom of religion. The First Amendment provides that the federal government shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then it says, nor abridging the freedom of speech. And of course, in subsequent years, that amendment became applicable to the state governments also. So at this point, neither the federal government nor the state government may impair your freedom of exercising your religion or your freedom of speech. They're unavoidably linked together, and we'll talk about that more next week when we're over there. But first the exercise of religion and then the exercise of free speech.
Mm. Very important for us to know the facts regarding that amendment. You're involved with the Thomas More Society. Martin, tell us a little more briefly about just what this organization is all about.
The Thomas More Society was actually founded in Chicago by Tom Brecka probably 25 years ago. He left his private practice to focus full-time on his defense of Joe Shidler, who was being prosecuted, much like David Dalyden is today, being accused of using his free exercise of speech and religion to undermine a legitimate business. He was prosecuted under the RICO statute, which is a federal law aimed at racketeering and corruption. And the federal government and the National Organization for Women tried to use that law to shut him down. It was a case of nationwide significance. When Tom won that with a couple of trips to the Supreme Court, it changed the landscape nationwide for pro-lifers on sidewalks around every clinic in the country. Several years ago, he came to Omaha. He essentially made an overture to several local attorneys, including myself, to start an Omaha branch, which we did. The firm is totally focused on freedom of religion and pro-life issues. We are involved in lots and lots of cases, notably the David Dalyden case, in which Mr. Dalyden is the fellow who ran the Center for Medical Progress and accomplished the undercover videos that have been giving Planned Parenthood such a headache. He's indicted in Texas. He's been sued in California. And Thomas More Society is defending him.
I understand, Martin, that you've also been involved with defending religious freedom and the rights of citizens, even in Southwest Iowa. Tell us more.
I was born and raised in Omaha. I raised my own children in Omaha. But 10 or 12 years ago, my wife and I discovered Iowa.
Yes.
We moved over here, bought a place out in the country. I started getting involved with the community. And pretty soon I was involved in, on behalf of the Thomas More Society, defending people in Red Oak, gathering on the roadside around the Planned Parenthood clinic over there. And for some reason, we're being told they had to move across the street. We got involved. It wasn't a big deal, but it turns out that we could assert a right to be on the same side of the road, on the grass, which basically appeared to be the Planned Parenthood lawn. That made a difference. It increased the visibility and the effectiveness of that sidewalk witness. Since then, that clinic has closed. Recently, you're, I'm sure, certainly aware of the issue with Planned Parenthood in the local schools over in the Stanton and Red Oak area. Thomas More Society's been involved in trying to help the citizens over there to exercise their rights, to go to the school board meetings and speak up.
There has been a lot going on in the Southwest Iowa area regarding sexual health education for youth. Karma, since you are right here in rural Farragut, maybe you can tell us also as an educator, what's the current situation?
Well, in February, there was a local news article that really got the attention of the citizens here. It talked about a $5 million federally funded grant to address the issue of teen pregnancy through our school. Page County was a part of that grant. Mills County was a part of that grant. But the startling part of the story was the headline, Page County is first in the state for teen pregnancy. What we found was that headline was inaccurate. At the time that the grant application was written, Page County was not number one in the state. Page County was number three. Page County is currently number 12 in the state compared to all 99 counties. And Page County is also fourth when compared to other counties of a similar size. So there's still quite a bit of concern that we're number 12 in the state, but the statistics that were given to the local media were inaccurate.
What's the source?
Eyes Open Iowa, and it's from the Iowa Department of Public Health.
You mentioned that we, in fact, are currently 12th in the state. What has been started as a result of the issue?
It's called the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative, TPPI. It's actually through Planned Parenthood. They are using Planned Parenthood educators paid by Planned Parenthood, not by the school districts. And they have formed a youth advisory committee in Shenandoah, as well as a community advisory committee. And as it was quoted in the paper, the purpose of those committees was to provide the steam and backing to get their curriculum into Page and Mills County schools. Now, I'm not aware of how the youth advisory committees are going, but the community advisory committees have now met three times. On March 31st, at the second community advisory meeting, there were 72 participants. 66 of them were pro-life people who made it very clear that they were not in support of Planned Parenthood. On April 28th, at their third community advisory meeting, there were about 112 people in attendance, 100 of them being pro-life, non-Planned Parenthood supporters. At that April 28th meeting, I would say free speech was restricted. They brought in a facilitator from Des Moines who facilitated a discussion when someone spoke about Planned Parenthood doing abortions and the sale of baby organs. They were told that would not be allowed. So they have been controlling the agenda and the discussion. We also know that the curriculum they offer in the schools throughout Southwest Iowa for several years do not have a strong evidence base, and there is little or no impact on students. The issue really has had some very positive results because it has really raised awareness in the community and in the county about the teen pregnancy rate. And as a result, a group of concerned citizens, very concerned about our young people and the teen pregnancy rate, but also concerned about Planned Parenthood to be the educators of our youth, realize an alternative is needed. State-mandated sex education curriculum is in place in Iowa. And of course, we want our young people to be informed. So we're working to replace the Planned Parenthood curriculum with something that has a stronger evidence base and is more acceptable to the faith-based community.
And there's a fantastic opportunity coming up for our listeners where they can learn more about their First Amendment freedoms as well as alternatives for the youth when it comes to education. Tell us a little more about how Martin will be coming to our community for a free event soon.
Yes, Martin Cannon will be coming to Shenandoah this coming Thursday, May 19th at 6:30 p.m. He's going to speak on the First Amendment and religious freedom in Southwest Iowa, particularly as it pertains to sexual health education for our youth. The event will be held at the Delmonico Room at the Greater Shenandoah Historical Society. It's at 800 West Sheridan, and lots of people know it as the old JCPenney building. So 6:30 p.m. on May 19th, come and join us and hear this very exciting speaker. This is a topic that I believe everyone, every citizen, would be very interested in.
They will hear things at this event that they don't normally hear about the First Amendment and the freedom of religion and how to exercise those and the responsibility to exercise them, and very importantly, the fact that it really, really works if you do it. And at the end of it, I'm sure we can engage in a very interesting discussion with the participants.
Well, definitely a good topic to be educated on regarding the First Amendment, as well as ways we can equip our youth with the most appropriate information possible when it comes to their health. We sure appreciate you sharing with us at KYFR.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jenny.
Well, thank you. Our guests today on the program have been Carmen McLaren, a resident of rural Farragut, part of the Shenandoah School District, as well as First Amendment attorney Martin Cannon of the Thomas More Society. Be sure to mark the free event featuring Martin Cannon on your calendars for this Thursday, May 19th at 6:30 p.m. at the Delmonico Room in Shenandoah, 800 West Sheridan. This again is Jenny Burkheiser bringing information to you regarding our First Amendment freedoms. KYFR Shenandoah.
This has been The Local Record, a look at issues facing Shenandoah and our other Southwest Iowa communities. Opinions expressed on the program are not necessarily those of Family Radio, its staff, or management.